Morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra is daf Dalid. We are beginning on the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. During Bayis Sheni, in the middle of the second Beis Hamikdash, we know that there was a change of world leadership. Was a short stint of the Persian Empire. Persian Empire fell, and in its place, the Greeks came aboard. I mentioned this in the past. There's a general discussion, the disagreement between Jewish historians and secular historians in terms of how long the Persian Empire lasted. Our tradition has it that it is a short amount of time, that it didn't last that long. We have Shimon HaTzadik, who's in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, so he's confronting Alexander the Great, obviously the beginning of the Greek Empire. So in Persian history, so the Persian Empire lasted significantly longer, about 150 years longer. So there is basically a lengthy discussion in terms of how to try to make any kind of resolution between our version of history and their version of history. But anyway, we continue. So the Greek Empire takes over, and then after the Greek Empire takes over, we have the Roman Empire. And and during this transition from the Greek Empire to the Roman Empire, this transition. So, of course, we know that we revolted against the Greeks. We have a yontif that commemorates that. It's called Hanukkah. And then we also know that after the Chashmonaim took on the revolution against the Greeks, so they also took the Malchus. They took the monarchy as well. The Ramban in the end of Parshas Vayechi says they shouldn't have done that, but they did it. They're not from Shevet Yehuda. They're obviously Kohanim. They're from Shevet Levi. But nevertheless, they took on the Malchus. We are looking right now at the end of the Chashmonaim Malchus. In fact, we'll see in just a moment that Herod really is the end of it. In fact, he's really post-Chashmonaim, if you will. He's an Eved. We're going to get to that in just a moment. And this really is a prelude to almost an Amud of Agarata and the Gemara, detailing the story of Herod Hordas from the Gemara standpoint and his desire to rebuild the second base of Mikdash. When I say rebuild, I mean refurbish, totally update the Bayis Sheni. This comes in the Gemara on the heels of yesterday's discussion of the Gemara regarding the prohibition of building a shul, a new shul, when you have an old shul. Meaning what you have to do is you have to first build the new shul, and then and only then can you take down the old shul. Why should that be? So the Gemara gives two explanations. One, because you need a place for people to daven. And two, says the Gemara, because we're just worried about Pshia. We're worried about simply life happens. And we don't know that the funds which we put together to build the new shul will actually be applied towards the new shul. There could be other very worthy causes in terms of where the money's going to go. Gemara discussed it yesterday. Okay, all good questions. This is just a warm up for today's daf. So then the Gemara says, but Herod, obviously he didn't have that ability of doing that with the Beis Hamikdash. Meaning he wanted to totally redo the Beis Hamikdash. You can't build a new Beis Hamikdash and then and only then take down the old Beis Hamikdash. I guess in theory you could, but you have that place. You have the geography, which makes it difficult. It's got to be in the same place. But anyway, but he did it. And how could he do it? So the Gemara asked that question yesterday, and the Gemara also afforded a couple of answers. One, the Gemara says, is that there was a crack in the old Beis Mikdash, in the one that Ezra built. So that as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, that allows you to take it down and build it up immediately. And two, says the Gemara, is that he's a melech. And as a melech, so we're not worried about Pshia. The only time we're worried about Pshia is if you and I were to, you know, have a committee and make decisions and things happen. But when you're a king, and the king makes an order, an instruction, so you have to follow the king. The simplest answer to your question is yes. That was the Gemara's answer yesterday. So fine. So anyway, that's how we transition from yesterday's daf to today's daf. And with that, we continue in the Gemara, and the Gemara starts off Hordas. Okay, we are about 12, 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud on Gimel and Beis. Hordas after the Beis Chashmonai Havi. So who was he? So he was an Eved. Now let's presume, and the Rishonim say this, and you'll see Tosfos on today's daf says this, he's an Eved Kenani, which means that at one point in time he was purchased. Now we know the halacha regarding an Eved Kenani is that once you have a non-Jew who's purchased as an Eved Kenani, so he is now chayv b'mitzvos. And most mitzvos, meaning the same number of mitzvos that a woman's chayv. And in fact, more than that, he's also getting a bris milah. So an Eved Kenani has some status of being a Jew. obviously he can't marry an Eved Kanani, but still he has some status. So he was Evda the Beis Chashmonai, obviously, so he was an Eved to the Beis Chashmonai. Nasanena Beoso Tinokis. So he got attracted to one of the girls of the Beis Chashmonai. Yuma Chashamahu Gavra Baskala. Now one day he heard, Hahu Gavra is always that expression of the Gemara, it's a euphemism. Right? That person heard, meaning he heard it about himself. The Amr Kol Avda Demarid Hashta Matzliach. And the Baskal came out and said that today's the day. If you're an Eved and you revolt against your master, so you're going to have Hatzlacha. Okay, so that's the Baskal that he heard. So Kam Kadlina Lakula Mar Yusei. So he killed all of his masters. So in other words, he kills off Beis Chashmonai. Vishayla Yinukta. But of course, he didn't kill the girl that he was attracted to. So he let her live. So now the girl understood, and I say girl, I don't know how old she was, but obviously she was young, but with understanding, she understood that she was going to be she was only left alive so that she could marry Hordus. So she went up to the rooftop, she raised her voice, Amra, and she said, from this point going forward, if anyone makes a claim that they're from Beis Chashmonai, so everybody should know that they're really an Eved, because there's no one left from Beis Chashmonai except for me. As we'll see in just a moment, she's about to commit suicide, and so that's really all that's left now is Herod, but Herod's an Eved Kanani. So she says that anyone who comes now makes the claim that they come from Beis Chashmonai is really an Eved. The lo ishtari aminai elai yinukta. The only one left is that girl, meaning a reference to herself. Vayinukta nafla megra lara. And this girl's about to commit suicide. Okay. Timna Shavna Shinin Bedufsha. So he preserved her life. He preserved her body. Okay. Important correction. He preserved her body for 7 years in honey. Now, Ikadami Bala, Ikadami Lobala. Okay, now, some say that he had relations with her after while preserving her in honey for 7 years, and some say he did not. So, to the Shita that he did have relations with her, so it was to appease his Yetzahara. Now, to the ones who say that he did not have relations with her, he preserved her for the reputation of, people will say that he married the daughter of Chashmonai, the princess of the Chashmonaim, and so it will solidify his monarchy. Amar man darish mikar v'checha. Amar man darish mikar v'checha tesim alecha melech. So who darshan that pasuk? We know Gemara in Sanhedrin, second parak, that the Gemara there says the Chachamim expounded that when the Torah tells us that we have to put up a king, it has to be a king who is muvchar ba'achecha. It's got to be pedigree Jew. It cannot be an Eved Kanani. Can't be a Ger. The Gemara in the second paragraph of Sanhedrin. So, who darshans that pasuk? So the answer is Rabbanan. Meaning it's a Chachamim. So, Kam Katlin Lekula Rabbanan. So he killed the Chachamim. Now the Gemara says Kula Rabbanan. It's not all the Rabbanan, but most of the Rabbanan, Tosfos points out. Shafkele Baba Ben Buta. Notably, he left alive Baba Ben Buta. Lemishkal Itzem Itzem Inei. Because he wanted to take advice from Baba Ben Buta. He had that very ambiguous relationship with the Chachamim, where on one hand he hated them, but on the other hand he knew he needed them. So he killed most of them, and he notably left Baba Ben Buta alive. But then the Gemara says, "Ahadale Kalila Daila Nakrina Leine." But what he did is basically he made some sort of apparatus that he wrapped around the head of Baba Ben Buta. It was made out of basically porcupine skin. Take a look at the top Rashi on Dala Mad Aleph. Hanaka Mitagamina and Yatsa. Okay, so. Yala. So the if you look at Targum on Chumash, when the Targum describes the Ha'anaka, you and I would call the porcupine, something similar to that. Anyway, Targum over there calls it a Yala. Vusherish Shikarin Hartson Visharok Visaro Kasha Kemachtin. So its hair is very sharp, like needles. Vasolo Atara Me Oros Vivo Seinav. So he made a crown for Baba Ben Buta that went around, not his head, but basically wrapped around his eyes and blinded him. So he was unable to see. That sets us up for the next part of the story. Yumachad Asav Yasav Kameh. So one day now, so Hordus goes and sits there together with Baba Ben Buta, has a conversation. Now you have to understand, proper context, Baba Ben Buta couldn't see. Now I'm sure he recognized Hordus's voice. In this story, we're going to, just to contextualize, I'm going to suggest that what Baba Ben Buta did was try to disguise his voice what Hordus did was try to disguise his voice so that Baba Ben Buta didn't realize that he was talking to Hordus. Now, between us friends, probably Babin Ben Buta knew he was talking to Hordus, but at least from Hordus's perspective, you know, Hordus thought that he was having a conversation with Babin Buta that was anonymous. Okay, at least from his perspective. Amr Chazi Mar Hay Avda Bisha Maika Avid. So what about Eved should do? Amale Mai Avidle. So what should I do with him? Amrale Natalya Mar. So he says, well, why don't I curse him? Amr Lake Siv Gam Bim Ad Acha Melech Al Tikala. He says, no, not gonna curse him. Meaning basically what this anonymous person is suggesting to Babin Buta is that we have this really bad Eved, meaning speaking about Hordus, and what should I do with him? And maybe we should curse Hordus. Is a suggestion that Hordus is making to Babin Buta, and Babin Buta's response is, no, let's not do that. And the pasuk says, Gam b'madecha melech al tikalo, you can't curse a king. Amalei haylav melechu. So Hordus says to Babin Buta, yeah, but you know he's not a king. Like, come on. So Amar Lei v'lehave Ashir ba'ama uksiv v'chadre mishka v'chal tekalal Ashir. So then to that, Bavin Ben Buta says, yeah, but even if he's not a king, he's wealthy, and you got to respect that. So the Gemara says, v'lo yehe l'nasi. So he says, and he's certainly a leader, meaning, okay, you don't want to formally refer to him as a king, and you want to ignore his wealth, but he's a leader, uksiv v'nasi ba'am chalos ha'or. And the Torah says, you can't curse a leader. So the Gemara says, "Amalei ba'osem asim imach." So Hordus, who knew Drashas Chazal, the second time now we see this in the Sagadata. So he knew Drashas Chazal. So he says, "Come on, you know you're not allowed to curse somebody when they are osem asim imach, meaning when they're behaving, when they are shomer Torah mitzvos. But if they are blatantly disregarding Torah mitzvos, so then you are allowed to curse them. V'ha'ilav osem asim imach. And this Hordus guy." Great conversation. And this Hordus guy, so you know he's not compliant. You know he's not being shomer Torah mitzvos. Come on. So I'm alei mistafina mine. So to which Bavan Babuta says, yeah, but I have fear of him. I'm alei leke inish da'azol delei malei da'anava ad yasivna. So to which Hordus is kind of like trying to entrap Bavan Babuta. You know it's only you and me right now that's talking. You know no one else is listening to this conversation. So you could just whisper in my ear. Tell me what we can do against Hordus. So Amalei Ksiv ki Ouf HaShemayim Yolichetz HaKol V'Aknafayim Yagid Davar. To which Bavin Ben Buta, according to the Pasuk from Kohelet, says, no, the wolves got ears, birds send messages back and forth. I cannot say it privately, and it's not private, it's going to be public, can't do it. Amalei Anahu. So finally, after attempt of Hordus trying to entrap Bavin Ben Buta, finally Hordus makes the admission, you know, this whole time it's really been me. Now again, I speculate that Bavin Ben Buta probably knew that. But okay, that's just speculation. You don't have to buy into that. So, but either way, so finally Hordus admits that it was me. To which point in time now, Hordus developed a tremendous amount of respect for the Chachamim, and he said, if I known that the Chachamim had this kind of integrity, I would not have killed the Chachamim. And now he begins to regret that which he has done, which cannot be undone. Hashta mai tekante deu gavra. What can I do now to not rectify the situation, unrectifiable, but some sort of tshuva that I could do? Amrlei hu kava oroshel olam. So Bavin Ben Buta says, look, you extinguish the light of the world. The Talmidei Chachamim are the Einayim. They're our eyes. And so you extinguish them. Dechsiv kiner mitzvah v'sora or, yelech v'yasok ba'or shel olam. So what you should do is you should introduce more light into the world. Dechsiv, the pasuk says, v'naro elav kol ha'gayim. The people are going to turn to the Jewish people for illumination, and you're going to have to help the Jewish people in terms of providing more light. And basically, he is the one who gave Eitza to Hordus to basically redo the Beis HaMikdash. Another version in terms of how this last part of the dialogue went. Husima Inosha Olam, he blinded the eyes of the world. Dechsiv, the pasuk says, "Vaya im me'enei ha'eda." So yelach v'yatasuk bein hasholam. So you should be involved in the eye of the world. Tichsiv hinanim chalal es mikdashi ga'onu zechem machmad einechem. The base of mikdash is referred to as machmad einechem. So again, it's the same basic idea. You basically have to try to make some reparation for that which you've done, rebuild the base of Mikdash. Amar Leh. And now this is Hordus' response to Bava Ben Buta about the refurbishing of the second base of Mikdash, Mistafina Mimachusa. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm scared of the Romans. So, really, the irony is unbelievable, meaning this is what Bava Ben Buta says to Herod earlier in the conversation, but now Herod admits himself that he also is intimidated. Amalei shada shlicha v'leizol shasa v'leyakev shasa v'lehadar shasa. So, Bava Ben Buta continues now to advise Hordus and says, look, you can easily give yourself a 3-year window of opportunity. You'll send a shliach over to Rome to have the discussion of whether you can or cannot refurbish the second base of Mikdash. They'll deliberate about it for a year, and then the word to get back is going to take a year. So in other words, basically, you know, get it stuck in politics and dialogue and give and take and committee meetings. And for 3 years, and then during those 3 years, so you'll do it. And it's, I'm not sure if I like this expression, but it's, you know, people say it. It's easier to apologize than to ask for permission. So you'll build an, so in other words, so you'll stall, you'll build it during those 3-year period, and adahachi v'achi, and meanwhile, sasholei uvanislei. And you'll take down the second base of Mikdash, and you'll rebuild the second base of Mikdash. Okay. And this is the advice that was given. Parenthetically, in terms of history, when did Hordus live? So, if you take a look at Tosfos, I'm just doing the Masora as we have it. I'm not a historian, and I'm not providing, you know, the archaeology nor the history. I'm just going through Joshua's Chazal and through the Rishonim. If you take a look at Tosfos on the bottom of Gimel Medbeis, so based on the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, so Tosfos writes that Hordus lived a little over 100 years before Chorban Bayis Sheni. So in other words, we learned yesterday that the Bayis Sheni lasted for 420 years. Again, according to our Masorah, Beis HaMikdash lasted for 420 years. And so basically now it's the last quarter of Bayis Sheni. See the last Tosos on the previous Amud. Lav Da'afik L'Kulu, Hava B'nei Beserish, I need to see him, Kisha Allah Hil Al Mibava. So first of all, Tosos points out, I referenced this Tosos earlier, that he didn't kill everybody, he didn't kill all the Chachamim. Bava Ben Buta was not the only one who left alive. So you had B'nei Beserah, who were also left alive by Hordus. How do I know that? So Tosos says, Kedamin B'Psachim B'Perek Eilu Dvarim, V'Hil Ha'ya B'Fnei Abayis Me'ashana. Hillel HaZaken lived before Chorban Bayis Sheni, 100 years before Chorban Bayis Sheni. So the temple was destroyed in 70, so back up 100 years. So that's when Hillel lived. Kidarmina beperakama de Shabbos, umachus Hordus haya bifnei abayis, kuf gimel shana. And Hordus lived 103 years prior to Chorban Bayis Sheni. So just in other words, now that was working backwards. And after we worked forwards, so we know that Hordus lived before Hillel lived at the same time of the B'nai B'Serah, so the B'nai B'Serah also were left alive by Hordus. But anyway, but just in terms of a historical context, so we are now in the last quarter of Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni lasted for 420 years. Hordus was the last 103 years of those 420 years. Back to our Gemara. We are in the middle of Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay, Aved Hachi. So that's exactly what he did. Meaning Hordus did exactly as prescribed by Bava Ben Buta. Shachulei imlositarte altistor. So now a letter was sent from Rome to Hordus, and the letter went like this. If you didn't take it down, don't take it down. Meaning, we don't want you to refurbish it at all. V'im sartarte al tivne. Now, if you took it down, but you haven't rebuilt it yet, you're going to leave it like that. V'im sartarte vane av debisha. And if you took it down and you refurbished the second base of Mikdash, which in fact, that's exactly what happened, if that's the case, so then av debisha. You are a bad evid. Okay. Second time we made reference to Hordus as the Avdabisha. First time was when he referred to himself as Avdabisha. But you're a bad eved. Basa de avdin mismalchin. So the you follow the other avadim. Im zaincha alecha sifrecha kan la racha v'la ben racha. And if you decide now to take up arms, so we know the truth. We have Sfarim, we have the genealogy of the Jewish monarchy, and we know that you're not the king, and we know that you're not the son of the king. We know that you're a slave. Ar hordos avda kanayim et aved. And you are just simply a slave acting as such. And so, and Rashi points out over here, kanayim et aved, you somehow released yourself. We don't have any more details, at least here in the Gemara, regarding how exactly he did that, but he released himself, and the Romans said, well, listen, we know the truth about you. So we really have the goods on you. So at this point in time, don't view the refurbishing of the second base of Mikdash as basically a platform in which you're going to revolt against the Romans. Don't think you're going to do that. So my racha, now I translated the word racha as king. The Gemara at this point in time didn't know that. So my racha machusa. So it's reference to a king. Dechziv, anoch hayom rach umashuach melech. Gemara quotes one pasuk from Shmuel Beis, v'ibaisema mehacha v'yikar lefanav avrech. Also Yosef, when he was appointed the viceroy to the paro, so he was referred to as avrech, so you see that the word rach is a reference to a king. Amri mishal rabinyan ordos larabinyan na'e miyamav. Gemara over here quotes, it is the same Gemara we saw back in Sukkah. If you did not see the fifth parak of Sukkah, if you did not see the building that was built by Hordus, you have not seen beautiful construction in your life. So by my banya, so the Gemara says exactly how to do it. So Amarava ba'avne shisha umirmara. So the Gemara says that he used marble stone. Igadarmi ba'avne kuchla shisha umirma. So some say that the color pattern of it was of a white and a blue. Apik shapa. I'm sorry. So we basically have a couple of versions in terms of what the color patterns was. Shisha over here, Rashi says that it was like a green color. Some say it was of a blue color, and mirma is white. So it was either white and green, white and blue, but basically a colored pattern. Apik shapa va'yel shapa. So in terms of how the stones were laid, the stones were staggered. Kiechid and kapalsida, so that it would accept the cement. Okay, I'm not really in a position to speak about the engineering. I don't know much about it. But basically, the Gemara over here is extraordinarily complimentary to the building that was built by Herod. Savra Meshaye Bedahava. Now, at this point in time, he thought that he should layer the whole thing in gold, meaning it's a base of Mikdash, make it look beautiful. Amalei Rabban Shavke. So the Chachamim said no. So again, you get another sense over here that there was a Chachamim advisory board, not just Bava Ben Buta, but Chachamim said to him, no, leave it. Da'achi Shapir Tfei. This is nicer. Demechzei ki idvusa diyama. It looks like the waves of the ocean. Rashi over here comments, Gale Hayam, the waves of the ocean. Sheim Naim and Adim. So they're moving back and forth. Va'ayin mit ashashar b'yariyasan. And it's pleasant to look at. And people will, so to say, get calmed by looking at it. Uvava barbuta echad avid achi. Now the Gemara takes a step back and says, look, how could Bava ben Buta behave in such a manner in which he's advising Herod? Why was Daniel punished? Now how Daniel was punished, we're going to get to in just a moment. With the how is coming up. But right now the Gemara is asking why. Why was he punished? He gave Eitzah to Nebuchadnezzar. The Pasuk says, the Pesukim say in Sefer Daniel, Lahon Malka Malki Yashbar Alecha V'chata'echa B'tzaka Prok. Right, a good portion of Sefer Daniel is written in Aramaic. So we are now in the Aramaic portion of Sefer Daniel. And the Pasuk says, look, to the Daniel saying to the king, he was taken as a child to be one of the advisors to Nebuchadnezzar. Four young Jewish men in total were taken as advisors. And he says, so how are you going to be saved? B'tzaka prok. You're going to be saved by giving tzedakah. V'visicha b'meichan anyan hein tehave arka l'shavasech. And you'll have some sort of peace by giving tzedakah. Uksiv kulamata al Nebuchadnezzar malka. The pasuk says, now he got everything. Meaning, whatever he deserved, he got. So he did get punished. But, next pasuk, uksiv v'liksa sirchon treyel sar. But he got a delay stay of execution, if you will, for 12 months. So because of the advice that was given by Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar, so he got a delay of 12 months. So you see that Daniel gave Eitzah to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we don't know how Daniel was punished. That's coming up in just a moment. But basically now we know that Daniel was punished. And we know why he was punished, because he gave Eitzah to Nebuchadnezzar. So now we turn our attention to Baba Ben Buta, you know, 300 years later, a little bit more, but almost four centuries later. And now, how could you do that? How could you give advice to Hordus? So one answer, says the Gemara, is that Hordus was not a melech akum, but he was a Nevekanani, chayv b'mitzvah. So like I said earlier, meaning so he was in this semi-status of being a Jew. So that could be one distinction. In other words, in this particular scenario, then justifies the means. Meaning, yes, he shouldn't have advised orders, but it was for the purpose of building Beis HaMikdash. So for that end, so then this would be an exceptional scenario. Yes. The king. It's a chiyuv on the king. The Rambam writes. Yes. Rambam writes when the king goes, I'm sorry, when the Jewish people go into Eretz Yisrael, so there are three mitzvahs that a king needs to do. It's a mitzvah on the king. So one is to defeat a Malik, the other is to, the Jewish people, when they go into Eretz Yisrael, one is to appoint the king, two is to, for the king to destroy a Malik, and then three is for the king to build the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a mitzvah really exclusively on the king.
Does this discussion mean that Herod was forgiven?
That
Herod was forgiven? It seems like...
It's a fair question. I'm not equipped to answer that. I don't know. So the Gemara says, V'Daniel minalan dianish. How do I know that Daniel was punished? Ilema mishum dechziv atikra esther lahasach. So one indication that Daniel was punished, this is now the how. How was Daniel punished? Where do we see that Daniel was punished? So one is that we can open up Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is obviously at the end of Gullus. Right? Gullus for the Jewish people was a total of 70 years. The Gemara in Megillah goes through a lengthy discussion in terms of how to count the 70 years, but it's a 70-year period. So now if we're by Megillas Esther, so Daniel at this point in time is an older man. So the pasuk says, "Vatikra Esther la'asach." She speaks to this personality in the Megillah called Hasach. V'amar Rav Hasach is Daniel, and according to Rav, this Hasach is Daniel. So now, Hanich Lamanda Amar Shechatchu Megdulaso. Now, why was Daniel called, referred to as Hasach? So there are two opinions in the Gemara and Megillah, which the Gemara here quotes. One opinion is because he was cut down from his greatness, meaning he was a leader, he was in a position of leadership. And he basically got a demotion. Why did he get a demotion? So we know why. Meaning in the context of our Gemara, it was an onish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving the Eitzah to Nebuchadnezzar. So if you subscribe to this viewpoint in terms of why his name is Asach, so it works out. However, but if the word Asach is because he is mechatech, he decides and everybody listens to his decision, so then he never got a demotion. So where do we see how was Daniel punished? So Michael Amemar Deshajula Guva de Oraisa. So the Gemara says he was thrown into the lion's pit. Now he was saved from the lion's pit, but okay. But you know, you ask somebody, would you have liked to have been saved from the lion's pit or never been thrown into the lion's pit altogether? So I think most of us would go with option B. So the onesh of Daniel was he had that scare, significant scare, and that was his onesh. Okay. Atkan. Takes us to the end of the Agadita and the Gemara. So, powerful Agadita regarding Hordus by Sheni, Bava Ben Buta. We now go back to our Mishnah, a discussion regarding the building up of a wall. So you have two people living in a shared courtyard. They want to divide the courtyard. They're going to build a wall. The Gemara now is going to pick up on some of the language of the Mishnah. Hakol keminag hamedina. Everything follows a minag. Hakol asui mail asui asra denegi boots of a dafna. If the minag is to put up these very shoddy fences, so then you follow Minhag Medina, whatever the Minhag Medina is, right? Our Minhag Medina is, at least in my association, they have these, you know, simple wooden fences, staggered. Lefichach.
This is what Trump gets his idea.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Lefichach im nafa. Off the air, we can make the jokes. I mean, we're right now we're live and on the air, but they're good though. Lefichach im nafa alkosa b'makom avanim shel shneihem. If the wall were to fall down, so then everything gets divided. The material, the building material of the wall gets divided, and also the space gets divided, meaning that we assume that the wall was placed in the center. Now, pshita lo tzricha d'nafa l'rishusa d'chad minayhu. So the Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious. It could be that the wall fell into one of the person's properties, one of the two property, meaning it did not fall equally distributed between the two. Inami de paninu chad l'rishus edidei, or maybe one of them just simply moved them into his rishus. Ma'od detema, the Gemara says, I might have thought nehavi ida chamotzi mechaver alavaraya. So now, can't you make the following argument? Look, the wall fell, and the wall now is in my rishus, and you're trying to take half of the building material, and you're coming to take something from me. Hamotzi mechaver alavaraya. The Gemara says it's great havamina, but the Gemara says but havamina. The maskan is no. That we assume that when the wall went up, the wall was equally distributed building material and location between the two properties, and so therefore everything is going to be equally distributed. V'chein begina makom shenagula ligdor mechayv noso. And the Gina as well, and now we're describing also the garden. So Haguf Akasha, now the Gemara says, now when you read the Mishnah carefully, it's a little bit confusing. Amar v'chein begina, makum shenagu ligdor mechay v'noso. So the Gemara says, now in a garden, if there is a minug, meaning if there is a prevailing minug, so then we obligate the two parties to put up a wall. Hastamein mechay v'noso. But if there's no prevailing minug, then we don't put up a wall. Eima seifa, but the Gemara says, okay, but let's read on to the next part of the Mishnah, was avabika. Now, contrast that to a bika, to a valley, and as we discussed back in the Mishnah, you know, I know I didn't say the daf on, you know, on Tuesday, but as was said on the first day, the bika is a more public area. Everybody's looking into the bika. So aval bika. So the Mishnah contrasts that if your property is in a valley, makom shenagu shelo ligdar ein mechayev en oso. So if the minhag is not to put up fences and walls in the valley, so then you don't do so. Hastam en mechayev en oso. But if there is no prevailing minhag not to put up a wall, so then you should put up a wall. So hashta sam gina amart lo stam bika mi baye. Now if a garden which is a more private and secluded area, stama, you don't have to. By a bika, of course, stama, you don't have to. And so basically, once we know the point regarding gina, there was simply no point to make it by a bika. So the Gemara is going to give a couple suggestions. I'm Rabbi. Suggestion number one. Hachi kama v'chein stam gina uve makam shenagu ligdor bebika mechayv noso. So Abaye says, well, maybe the Mishnah should read like this. And also stam gina, meaning, if you have a garden, and there's no prevailing minhag, and if there is a valley where there is a prevailing minhag to put up a wall, so then we obligate people. So that's how you can read the Mishnah. Amar le Rava im kein mai aval. So Rava says, no, that's not a fair reading of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah, when getting to the point of Bika, introduces it with the word aval. Aval is clearly contrasting. So we're saying something, contrast that to the Bika. So you can't read the Mishnah as the Bika being a continuation of the point of the Gina. So the Mishnah doesn't read that way. So Alama Rava Hachi Kitani. So Rava says, here's how we're going to have to read the Mishnah. V'chein Stam Gina Kamakam Shanagu Ligdor Dami. So Stam Gina, if you have a garden, we're going to treat a garden like Makam Shanagu, where there is a minute to build up a wall, Mechayv and Oso, and therefore we obligate them. Aval stam bika, but if we have stam bika, meaning that there is no prevailing minug regarding the valley, kamakum shalom nagudami, we're going to treat it as if there is a prevailing minug not to put up a wall. Ve'ein mechayv noso, ela imratza konas esoch shalom, ubonu ve'ose chazis. And rather, in a bika, so because stam bika, ve'ein mechayv noso, sorry, you're right. So we are going to assume that stam bika, there is a minag not to build up a wall, and therefore there's no requirement to do so. So elim ratzakonos esoch shelo vonavos echazis. Okay, now if we are living in a scenario in which there is no requirement to build a wall, and I want to build a wall for my in other words for privacy for whatever reason. So now here's the problem: I'm going to build a wall a year from now, 2 years from now. generation from now, people are going to forget that this was my wall encroached into my property. And what's going to end up happening is, sometime from now, is that when we look at this wall, so my neighbor's going to make the argument, half the material of the wall is mine, and my property line goes to the center of the wall. So what do you do, says the Mishnah? You're going to have to make some sort of sign in terms of indication that this is your wall that you built. What's the sign? My chazis. Amarav huna achvele lekarn levar. So the Gemara says, so what you're going to do is you're going to take the top of the wall and you're going to have it protruded out. Now, again, this visualization over here would be extraordinarily helpful. So the protrusion outbound of the wall, it's kind of hard for me to describe.
Like the neighbor's airspace?
It's what it sounds like.
Yeah. No, you moved
yes. Well, no, not inside. To the neighbors.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. So maybe what you, and again, I'm speculating now, so I'm not comfortable, but maybe what you do is you recess the wall even further into your property, so that last layer is going to be, you know, still on your property. But I'm not saying I know that. I'm just suggesting. So achbele lekarn levar v'navi melagav. So the Gemara says, so why don't you do the following? Why don't you take the top layer of the wall and have it recess into your property as an indication that this is your wall? So the Gemara says, avichav v'nami melabar. Well, the Gemara says, well, your smart neighbor is going to do the following. He's basically going to go to the top row, and he's going to add a layer of stone or brick that's going to also go out onto his property. And so basically, with the possibility of claiming, hey, this wall is also mine. And then make the claim that this wall belongs to the two of us. So the Gemara says, well, if we're worried about a deceitful neighbor, well, why don't we worry about the following? You took that last layer and you had it going outbound, not inbound. Why don't we worry about your neighbor coming over with a powerful tool and just basically shaving off the top layer of the stones, and so there's no longer a protrusion, no longer a sign that the wall belongs to you. So the Gemara says, Gizuza made the yad. The Gemara says, yeah, but once he shaves off the top, people will recognize that that is shaven off, and so there's really no way that he can hide the fact that this is your wall. Igadarman, the Gemara has another version. So the Gemara says, and now in another version, so what you're going to do is you're going to take the top and you're going to have it go inbound, not outbound. So the Gemara says, guys, lay chavrei. So the Gemara says, because if you have the last wall, the top row going outbound, he's going to shave it off and he'll claim that this belongs to the two of us. Now in the second version, the Gemara assumes that the shaving is going to be unrecognizable, but if you are having the last row going inbound, so why are we worried, like the Gemara suggested earlier, that your friend is going to put a layer headed in his direction, and the Gemara says, "Lefufa mediyade." So in the second version, the Gemara says, well, that's going to be obvious. It will be too clear that this was tampered with. V'hami b'chutz katani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it says mi b'chutz in the Mishnah Kasha. The Gemara leaves it off as, yeah, that's difficult, but it's not the end of the world. It's not a tiyufta. Rav Yochanan Amar, this is another suggestion of the Gemara in terms of how you could make the body evidence on the top of the wall that this is exclusively your wall and it does not belong to your friend. So I could do this. So this is now Rav Yochanan's suggestion. Top of Dalam and Beis, Nishai Ba'amta Melabar. So basically what you're going to do is you're going to put a layer of plaster on the top, headed outbound. V'navi milagav. So the Gemara says, okay, but put the layer of plaster on the interior, not on the exterior. So avid chavri milabar v'amr di divi di dehu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but your friend's going to do the same thing and also make the claim that this wall belongs to the two of us. Yachi hashenami dekap alei chavre. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you put that plaster on the exterior, can't your friend come over, scrape off the plaster that you put on? V'amr di divi di dehu. So the Gemara says, kalupa meida yad. The Gemara says, yeah, but if he's peeling off the plaster, there's no way that you're ever going to peel it off and make it anew, make it as if the plaster didn't exist. And again, it will be obvious that it was tampered with. Hutsa. What if the wall was made up of hutza? We've been discussing now walls made up of stone, made up of bricks, and basically giving a clear identification that this is exclusively your wall and not a joint venture between you and your neighbor. And the Gemara basically, with some difficulty, said that you can do that. You can make the wall clearly visible that it's yours and not your friend's. But if the wall is made up of hutza, if it's made up of reeds, it's a simple wicker wall, so now what? How are you gonna handle that? So Amar Rav Nachman, Sinufei, Yerichim Alavar. So what you're going to do is you're going to tie up the tops of it facing outside. Again, the picture here would be extraordinarily valuable to me. I'm not exactly sure how this presents itself, but basically you're going to tie up the reeds on the top to make that indicative that it's your wall, exclusive of your wall. Venevid milagav. So the Gemara says, now why don't you tie it to the interior, not to the exterior? So the Gemara says, Nami chavri milavar. Sorry, avin nami chavri milavar, v'amr di divi di dehu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but your friend's going to do the same thing. And again, I'm not exactly sure how they both can tie up the tops, but whatever. In other words, obviously, in this reed wall that we have over here, so if you do an interior, your friend can do it as well. And again, it won't show exclusivity. So the Gemara says, yeah, but can't he clip it if you're doing it to the exterior? And again, make the claim that the wall belongs to both of us. So the Gemara says, Mashrik Leitina. So the Gemara says, what you're going to do is you're not only going to tie it up, but you're going to put some sort of paste on it as well, indicating that it's yours. Hashanami, Asichavre, V'Kalaflei. Your friend can peel off the plaster. So the Gemara says, Kilufa Meide Yade. And the Gemara says, no, it's obvious that it was tampered with if he tries peeling off the plaster. And finally, Abaye says, as much as Rav Nachman spent the last five lines giving us a formula of identifying that the wicker wall is exclusively yours, Abaye says, nah, there really is no way of doing so. Hutza leisle takanta elabishtara. Abaye says that if it's a wicker wall, there's no real way of giving a physical evidence on the wall itself that the wall is exclusively yours. And if you really want to show documentation, I gave away the answer, if you want to show proof at the end that this wall is exclusively yours, you're going to have to draw up a shtar, you're going to have to draw up a contract, and only through documentation can it be proven that this wall is exclusively yours. Otherwise, according to Abaye, there's no remedy when it comes to hutza.
Who's going to be party to this contract?
Who's going to be party? The two neighboring people of the fence. They'll write up another contract. But if they do so with the accord of the two of them, Amalei Rava mi Parzikal Ravashi, Lo Yasu Lo Ze V'Lo Ze. So why doesn't neither of them make a sign on the wall? Meaning, the Gemara is suggested that if they both made a wall and they both want to make some sort of physical mark on the wall, so then both of them are going to make a chazis. So the Gemara suggestion right now is, well, I don't understand. If they both want to prove that they're owners of the wall, so instead of having both of them make a sign, have neither make a sign, and that'll arrive us at the same conclusion. So the Gemara says, Amar Leh Lo Tzricha Dekadim Chad Minai Va'Avididei. So the Gemara says, well, one of them put up a sign saying, hey, this wall's mine. So once he put up a wall saying his wall's mine, so then what's the other neighbor going to do? So see, the arms race to the wall. So and if my friend, and the friend doesn't put it up, so then later on in time there's going to make a claim that the wall exclusively belongs to him. So the Gemara over here says, really, the Mishnah over here is providing legislation for how cheaters should operate. So the Gemara says, I'm Gemara says that's a strange comment, because quite frankly, that's the Mishnah. Meaning, consider that the Mishnah has been talking about, well, if we're not making a joint wall, not making a singular wall, so I got to put up a clear marker on the wall indicating that the wall's mine. Why? Because I'm afraid later on my friend's going to make a claim that the wall is jointly created. So the entire Mishnah is trying to prevent cheaters from cheating. So over here now you're bothered. Oh, these are cheaters. So Amalei Bishlam Aresha Tana Dina Umishim Dina Tana Takanta. The Gemara says, no, I'll tell you what. No. The first part of the Mishnah was telling us what the halacha is. And if you're going to recess the wall into your property, so then the Mishnah is giving us a remedy of what to do. But it wasn't that the Mishnah was primarily dealing with cheaters. The Mishnah was just simply saying, here's the halacha, and under the circumstances, here's what you're going to do. But Ella Sefa Dina Katani Diktani Takanta. But what was the segue that got us to the point of, hey, you know what? If he cheats, you should cheat. Or misstated. If he cheats, so you should respond. So, but there was nothing that segued into that point of the Mishnah, and there was really no need for that other than, hey, what do we do if we have a bunch of cheaters over here? And the Mishnah would not really need to address that. So Amar Avina, Achi Behutz Askinan, Lafuki Meda Abaye, Damar Hutz Alefe Takanta, Ela Bishtara, Kamash Malan, Debechaz Isagya. So the Gemara says, well, it could very well be that that last point of the Mishnah was to exclude the position of Abaye. Abaye said, just a moment ago, that when it comes to Hutzah, there's no Takanta. And so therefore, you're going to have to draw documentation. So the Gemara says that that last line of the Mishnah can be a shout out to the fact that, no, we don't agree with Abaye. That even when you're constructing a wall of a Hutzah, there can be a Chazis, there can be physical evidence put into the wall, indicating that this wall was jointly made by both parties. Let's continue. We're starting now the Mishnah. Yes. Okay, let's start the Mishnah in the upcoming sugya, and the Mishnah takes up the following scenario. So we have over here two parties. One owns property surrounding another. So let's call the exterior Reuven, let's call the interior Shimon, and Shimon's landlocked. Shimon's four sides are actually surrounded by Reuven's four properties that are around him. And, what makes the best neighbors? This is basically the theme of the first parak of Baba Basra. So fences make great neighbors. So what now Reuven is going to do is he's going to put a fence around his property, around the exterior of his property, and around the interior of his property. Now by him fencing the interior of his property, basically de facto, he has now created fencing around Shimon's property. So basically, can he now turn to Shimon and say, you know, I'd like a thank you. Let's go even one step further. Not only would I like a thank you, but I built you a fence. Now, I understand the fence has a dual purpose. It also serves me as well. But you can't ignore the fact that the fence also serves you. So I'd like not only a thank you from you, but quite frankly, I'd like to share the bill of this fence. So can he do that? That's the discussion of the Mishnah. So let me start again. So now he's put a fence perimeter around three sides. So we don't have a complete fencing as of yet. So we do not obligate now Shimon, the interior property, to have to pay for the fencing, because quite frankly, at this point in time, there's not enough fencing where he can say thank you, where he has to say thank you. And by thank you over here, I really mean and pay half of the fence. Rabbi Yossi Amar im Amar v'gadur saravi is magagun alav as a call. Now Rabbi Yossi says that if he were to build the fourth, now he over here is an important pronoun, meaning there are two he's in discussion over here. There's the exterior, who we identified as Reuven, and there's the interior, who is Shimon. If he were to build the fourth wall, so clearly that's now an indication that he's happy with it, and so therefore he's going to have to pay half the cost. So it's important to identify who that he is. The simplest way to say the Mishnah is that the he over here would be the interior. Meaning if Shimon were to build that fourth wall, that's now a clear illustration that he liked walls numbers 1, 2, and 3. And now he's going to have to participate in half the cost of walls 1, 2, and 3.
But he could argue for this, that he could be actually the other guy. Because he's giving full benefit.
I totally understood. I opened the door for two possibilities. Because you're right. In other words, it's very possible. Now, if this discussion of the Gemara sounds familiar, so we learned this Mishnah a long time ago. Back in Baba Kama, in the second parak of Baba Kama, like around Daf Chaf, so the Gemara over there had the classic discussion of Zenen of Zelo Chaser, right, where one person benefits and the other person is not losing. In other words, over here, the Gemara uses this Mishnah as an example where, from Reuven's standpoint, so he didn't lose. Now, he didn't lose because he's going to have to put up the fence anyway. In other words, it's his property. He's going to have to put up the fence. Now, Shimon, who's on the interior, he's clearly benefiting from the fence that was put up. So this, says the Gemara in Baba Kama, is an example of Zenene, the interior, Shimon got benefit, Vizelo Chaser, and Reuven on the outside, he didn't lose because he was going to build the fence anyway.
But he actually didn't lose because he lost half the expenses that the guy's not paying.
But no, in other words, no. But the argument right now we're making is that he would have to put it up anyway.
Right.
It's his property, and he would have had to make a fence anyway. So the Gemara over there has that discussion, and classically, the Gemara over there wonders that if you're in a scenario of zenen vezelo chaser, where you're benefiting but the other person is not losing out, so do I have to pay? And the Gemara over there says, oh, look, there are two arguments that one can make. On one hand, I benefited. So shouldn't I pay for the benefit that I received? On the other hand, the Gemara says, quite simply, yeah, but he didn't lose out. So, yes, I benefited, but he didn't lose out, so then I don't have to pay. And the Gemara has a lengthy discussion over there in terms of whether or not you have to pay under such circumstances. Our Mishnah becomes one of the sticking points in that discussion. We'll come back to that a little bit later on. Let's just start the Gemara. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha K'Rav Yosi, Damrei Imamad, V'Gadus Reviz, Megagon Alav Atzakol. Loshna Amad Nikaf, Loshna Amad Makif. So Rav Yehuda makes 2 points. Number one, that the Halacha falls like Rav Yosi, that once the fourth wall is built, so then there has to be shared expenses of all four walls between the Makif and the Nikaf. The one who is around and the one who is interior. Or in our illustration, Reuven and Shimon. Now, that was point number one. Point number two, doesn't matter who builds the fourth wall. It could be the Makif, it could be the Nikaf. It could be Reuven, it could be Shimon. It doesn't matter. Under both circumstances, you're going to have to pay. Itmar Ravuna Amar HaKolafi Mashigadarchia Bar Rav Amar HaKolafi Damim Demei Kanim Bezol. The Gemara over here says, now how much is Shimon going to have to pay? And what are your two options? He's going to have to pay for all four walls, but at cost, or if I would have put up walls, I would have done a much cheaper job. And the Gemara has a debate amongst the Amoraim exactly how much Shimon is going to have to front in the event that the fourth wall is put up.
See what type of wall he built on the south side of Shimon.
Okay, very good. We're going to get to that. Okay, so at this point in time, we'll pause. We'll pick it up tomorrow, exploring this machlokas. So let's just quickly recap. To the first half of today's daf was Hordus and the refurbishing of Bais Sheni. Unbelievable, powerful agadata regarding Hordus, Bava Ben Buta. Bava Ben Buta served as the advisor to Hordus. Gemara was bothered principally how could he advise Hordus on anything. So the Gemara gave a couple suggestions as opposed to Daniel, who advised Achashverosh, and Daniel got punished. So Hordus over here, I'm sorry, Bavan Ben Buta over here did advise and did not get punished. And the Gemara says either because Hordus was a Evikanani, not an Akum Gamor, or the Gemara says it has to do with the ends being the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara continued with that. We then finished up our Mishnah from the beginning of the Masechta in terms of discussing what is the contrast between a Gina and a Bika. The Gemara talked about physical evidence on the wall if you're the one exclusively making the wall and how to make tamper-proof physical evidence showing that the wall belongs to you. And then we started the new sugya today regarding a person who surrounds another person building the fence, whether or not the cost of that fence can be shared between the interior and the exterior.